Hello and welcome to another episode of Truth Serum, your daily dose of truth, debunking BS realities and illusions that we have subscribed to. My name is Melissa Binkley and I'm your host. I'm a soul, life, and business strategist, and it is my mission to show you how to transform your life and business by bridging science and spirituality and debunking the current belief systems that have us all trapped so that you can learn to walk the path of surrender and grace instead of fear and control. It is time to raise social, sustainable, conscious awareness and spirituality and create a conscious revolution. We need more leaders like you, healers and creatives and artists and coaches and speakers to really live their purpose, step into their masterpiece, and tap into intuitive intelligence so that we can create a global impact with our mission. And through connecting with amazing leaders like the one we have today, we'll reach 1 billion and create a shift in the world. Today's love leader that we welcome is Parrish Wilson. And Parrish is a writing coach as well as a book editor for women who know they have words in their soul that need to find their way out onto the page. Oh my goodness, that connects to me so much. Words in my soul. It's her mission to create safe and accessible opportunities for women to pursue their dreams of writing and self-expression, whether the words live only in their journals or are destined to be published. She does this through online workshops and in-person retreats, creating beautiful and nurturing experiences designed to enhance the exploration of creativity with a spirit of playfulness and truth. In between workshops, retreats, and parenting two young boys, Parrish tucks herself away in her office, immersed in the writing of her first full-length manuscript due to be published in the summer of 2018. And I just got chills when I said that, so that's going to be some good stuff. A memoir of her earliest years as a parent struggling with postpartum depression. I had that. And High Needs Child. Parrish's first book will be an intimate look at the truth of mental illness and how devastating it can be for new mothers and their families. Welcome, Parrish. I'm so excited to talk to you today.
Thank you so much, Melissa. It's funny to listen to yourself be introduced like that.
Well, it's a fascinating, I'm so excited to talk to you today. Your story parallels mine in so many ways, and I'm not going to give it away yet, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. But what is your shot of truth serum? What BS reality do you want to debunk or demystify for our audience today?
A lot of what I write and talk about is really just the crap expectations that get put on moms and how we get, you know, we really get shown this kind of fantasy life of what it's like to be a woman. And it's funny because I wrote specifically on this morning as well. It's like we watch these romantic comedies and we get read fairy tales and we get shown this like path of like you go and you fall in love and you live happily ever after. It's like none of the rom-coms or the fairy tales follow up 5, 10, 15 years later when, you know, you're kind of stuck in the monotony of what can be marriage and parenthood. And many, you know, I started writing online about 4 years ago and my first blog was called Mama Truths. And it was about writing of like, what was really happening? Like not, what does it look like perfect on Instagram or, you know, not having the great, wonderful birthday party or the fancy bedroom or the perfect art center or, you know, all of these expectations that get put on moms. Like, what is the real day-to-day of like, oh my God, how many times have I swept the floor today? Or like my kid just punched me because I said no to having ice cream or, you know, like the actual real truthful happenings of what life is. Mm. And I think, you know, I don't know if it's like we get really caught up in worrying that we're going to look bad or we don't want to complain. I even had a really wonderful, like deeply spiritual friend today say like, oh, I shouldn't complain. My life is so great. I was like, you're going through some really hard stuff. You just got treated like crap. Like you get to complain. We can be honest with each other. And like, the power that would come back to us if we were truthful about our experiences and shared those out in the world, I think that would just be huge. I think that would be so big if we just actually chose to be real.
I love it. Today on Truth Serum, the truth about being a mom, and I'm also a mom, and I had what was called bad mother syndrome, and I didn't admit it until 2014 when I was on stage for the first time in front of, at my first conference in front of over 100 people, 150 people. And it was powerful to be able to have an experience and talk about the truth behind being a mother and the experiences and the expectations. So I'm so glad that we're going to be talking about this experience today and the expectations of motherhood and the BS reality of what was not being shown to everyone. So I would love to know, what is the lesson or the trial, what I call the masterpiece, that brought you to this truth in your life?
Yeah. So I had my first son in 2010, and he's definitely, like, he's a tough kid. He's not, you know, I remember people asking, like, is he an easy baby or a hard baby? He was like a hard baby. He's a hard, almost 7-year-old now. But I thought that I had to be a perfect mom. I thought that I was also, you know, I was smart enough and capable enough and, you know, successful enough that, like, of course this should be easy. I should be able to do this. And I didn't, I don't know. I just really, really got caught up in not making it all picture perfect, but in not letting anybody know that it was hard.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. There's a silence among us almost, like, and I believe that this is a generational and also a womanly thing, that we have been silenced for generations since the burning times to be quieted about this type of stuff. And so if you have postpartum depression, which I had, and I know from reading your story, Parrish and I are in a book together, Women Who Inspire, that is released September 26th. And she shares in the book about having postpartum depression. And I also had postpartum depression. I remember when my daughter was 7 days old, I cried because she had grown. I was like, my baby's already growing. And I knew at that moment, I was like, I knew I was in trouble because I had already had so much trauma. But that's something I didn't share with anybody. We didn't talk about it. It wasn't something where I was able to be like, because it's like, oh, you're okay. You'll get through that. It's or you're making it up, right? There was these things and these ideas that we had. That, so share a little bit about your experience around that, and, you know, as a mother, and how have you started to be able to share on a different level? What was the breaking point that it made you open up and shift from that?
Yeah. So with my first son, I spent a lot of time just not really telling the truth, right? Not telling anybody what was happening. And I had my second son 2.5 years later, and it was like my house exploded. My older son, his jealousy was so intense, and he became very aggressive. And this, for me, you know, not only was I now depressed with a baby and a 2.5-year-old, but I had a very angry 2.5-year-old, and that brought out rage in me, which is another part of postpartum depression that a lot of people don't talk about, is that for many, many women, this looks like rage. And that is devastating and scary. And you want to feel like a failure as a mom? Experience rage when your child is struggling. Like, that's horrible. And all I could do was write about it. I couldn't change it. I did my best, but I couldn't change it. So all I could do was write about it. And I decided to write and put that out in blog form. And the response that I got back was so, it changed me, because I finally realized that I wasn't alone. And so many women would write me and say, thank you for telling the truth. Thank you. That just changed my life. And it was like every single one of those emails changed my life, because I was finally not alone. I was finally not scared that I was so wrong. I didn't feel like a bad mom anymore. I felt like a normal mom, which is, you know, we might not always want to be normal, but sometimes it's incredibly relieving to be normal. Like, oh, wow, this isn't just me. And, you know, I'd like to say that that fixed everything, but it started me in really understanding what my bigger purpose was as a mother. You know, that I know now with my older son that, you know, I have a very, very challenging child, and it has forced me to become a better person. It has forced me to deal with my mental health issues. It has forced me to learn how to stay calm when shit's flying everywhere in the house. And those are really, really, like, that's deeply spiritual stuff on my side that I get to experience that I wouldn't have had if I didn't have him. You know, if I had just had my younger one who's like Mr. Easy Go Lucky all the time, then I wouldn't have such deep growth in my personal experience, in my human experience. So it's not easy and it's not over, but there is a blessing in it, you know. Absolutely. And that kind of sucks. And I had somebody the other day said, I hate when people say there's a blessing in the hard stuff. I'm like, I get that.
There is. And there's a blessing in the hard stuff. And there's a blessing in that, because what it did was it has allowed you the openness of vulnerability, which I think vulnerability is one of the spiritual truths. Like, you know, what I learned through going through my own trauma in my childhood, and then having my daughter and all of these different things that went on, was I thought that I wasn't allowed to share those things. And when I started being vulnerable and open about the experiences is when I actually started building tribe, when I actually started building people around me that you said you started blogging and people were sending you these messages. You were filling a void in the world that people were looking for. And anytime that you want to be a love leader, anytime you want to create global impact, one of the steps is through tribe building, but it's an organic tribe building of filling a void through vulnerability, of opening about your own story, about your own masterpiece, and making that creation really important. And so I think vulnerability is something that's so very scary, but when you step into it, it creates this openness. And then that leads to what you're talking about, which is what you call the blessing in the hardship, or the blessing in that. I call it gratitude through trauma. And I say, you know, there's a piece where when we are here and we have a mission, when we're here to change and we're here to be leaders and bring truth to the world, which is what we're here to do in this aspect, is we have to have gratitude for all of the crap that we went through. This is not spiritual bypass bullshit, which I don't believe in, because it's not like you need to actually live in the pain, live in the experience, own it and honor it instead of stuffing it down and hiding it away, which I think is where a lot of people say, oh, well, that's that spiritual crap, because they're imagining, they're just pretending like it doesn't exist, or I'm, everything's okay, where it's actually the opposite. You're leaning in to it and you're saying, I felt it and I had this. And then you are able to wake up to the gratitude of being in the experience of saying, yeah. And I love that one of the facts that you said that you used was you started to use writing as your aspect. And when I was reading your chapter, by the way, when you read Paris's chapter in the book, let me tell you, you can tell that she's a writer. It was beautiful. I've read all 20 of the women, and they all had these special different things in their chapters. But the first opening lines of hers were like poetry. And you could feel that energy in that. And so I want you to read her chapter, read all of them, but really you can tell that you were meant to be a writer. And you, you know, so you said in this piece of writing, and I saw that you had a struggle with going through writing. You said that with 13 years of perspective and a baby growing inside of me, I wondered whether that zero had been wrong, whether maybe the zero was just a zero and not my identity. Maybe it didn't actually say anything about who I was or who I could become. And I'll let you explain the zero and explain kind of what you meant by this, because this was the stepping stone for you to get into writing, which allowed you to share this vulnerability with the world.
Yeah, that was really awesome. You reading that line, like, I got shivers all over me. I always wanted to be a writer. When I was a kid, I had like an ongoing story, like chapters that I was writing. I always did poetry. I always wrote, and I wanted to be a writer. And then I got to high school and I got into, you know what, like what happened is like, and this is the craziness of teachers. And as I tell this story, I hear all these people say like, oh my God, I had such a similar experience where some teacher just shot me down and my dreams were crushed. And it's too common. It's too common and it sucks and it's scary. And it's just, you know, you got to hope it doesn't happen to your kid. Right. But in grade 10, there was like something, there was this like content that our teacher didn't teach us for whatever reason. He didn't cover that. And I got into grade 11 and I was fast tracking in English because I was like, I'm going to be a writer. I'm a superstar. I'm so good at And because I hadn't been taught that before, there was like this huge chunk of that semester that I had no idea what was happening and what to do. And for me, especially, I have a tendency of when if I'm not understanding something or it's not, I'm really good at school. So when I'm not good at it, all of a sudden I kind of like check out, like I'm like, I'm out of here. Mm. I work on that now when that comes up. But as a teenager, you know, I just was like, I failed. I failed that assignment. I failed that assignment so hard. I even told my husband, I'm like, I got zero on that assignment. He's like, I didn't know it was possible to get zero on an assignment. I'm like, well, I proved it is. And that zero meant everything to me. And I literally went, like, after that, I stopped taking advanced English courses. I took the easiest English courses I could. You had to have 5 credits to graduate. So I took the easiest ones I could. I even switched for a couple days to the other high school in town because I heard that their English program was easier. Like that one mark took me from writing is my whole world to I suck at this. And even though I had all these other experiences like throughout my 20s that showed me that writing was still my thing, I really didn't believe it. And I was really scared to go down that path. And it is, it's just when I had my kids that I was like, you know what? This is the thing that I have to do. I will not be me if I don't do this.
Yeah.
I will not survive motherhood if I don't do this. I will never find my way through my depression if I don't do this. This is what I have to do to be me. And it's still, you know, again, we always have these moments, right? And we want it to then be like, everything was perfect after that. You know, it doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
And then the sun shone. So in the last 4 years, it's still been messy in terms of me figuring out who I am as a writer. How does that show up? How the heck does that turn into making money is one big thing. You know, like, want to be an artist. Awesome.
Well, and I love that. So how this all ties in together with this truth serum about being a mom is that she found her writing through, found back herself back into the writing through the experience of not being able to share the vulnerability of the postpartum depression. But that vulnerability piece also showed up in her chapter from when she was in that 11th grade, because she says in her thing, she says, I was not about to prove to anyone that I wasn't supposed to be there by opening my mouth and admitting defeat on the very first day. And she said, I dared not admit that I did not know. That I did not. And so this experience there, right there, if she had known to be vulnerable and open, she probably would have changed her whole experience and never had that zero. And it took her years. So it was the same lesson showing up over and over again. And allowing that, you know, to say, oh, here, be vulnerable. And how many times do we have the, you know, in the spiritual journey that we're on, I call this, and I've talked about this many times, is the idea of the universe will keep putting things in front of us until we heal it. And we can either take the 2x4 method, which was postpartum depression for you, right? Where the universe says, are you going to pay attention to be vulnerable yet? Click, you know, or the path of grace and surrender, which now you can learn that you can transform and have things happen through another way. But I love the weaving in of how this being a mother, and you know, the truth about being a mother and the truth about, you know, being in this idea of vulnerability came in through your expression of as a writer. And I agree too. We all have so many similar stories. I was a writer growing up. I was a published author at a very young age. I went to all the competitions at my school. I did, you know, all of my teachers, like, you're amazing. You're going to, you know, be a writer. I always wanted to be a famous author. And, when I was raped my senior year, I stopped writing. And I didn't even recognize. I went on to college and I wrote books and, you know, dissertations and things like that in college, but I stopped the creative writing. I stopped the writing of my soul. And it wasn't until late 2015 when I was asked to be in a book, which is where I became a best-selling author for the first time, that I realized, oh my God, I haven't written in 20 years. And I don't even know how to write anymore. And that those fears and all that idea of wanting to be a writer all started to come back. It's beautiful. So you have this mission. And so now this mission that you have to be a writer, but then teach about this, you're doing a book about it, right? You've taken your truth about momhood and what that's like, and your passion of writing, and you're working on something and bringing those together.
Yeah. Yeah. So right now I'm working on this manuscript, it's a big thing to write about an experience of depression. But I love it. I love it. And it's coming together really well. I'm doing it as part of a graduate certificate, at the Humber School of Writing, and, which is nice, because then I have like an award winning author reading my work and actually telling me that it's great. So, that's always the relief. Oh, good. She likes it again. and you know, I just really believe that if we tell our stories, then every time we tell our story truthfully, openly, with vulnerability, then somebody who's listening, they're just more willing to do the same. And it goes on and on and on. And you know, like how we said, like how you were like, wow, if I had just, when I was in grade 11, if I had just been willing to speak up then, if I had just known that my truth was perfectly fine, perfectly okay, that it was good enough, that the whole thing could have been different. Yeah. And this is, we get taught all the time to be quiet and to make sure that our image, that what we look like, that how we present ourselves, that is the most important thing, rather than like what's actually happening for us. Mm. And, you know, and that's so, you know, that's so much of adolescence for sure. And I just feel like it's so much of the world we live in right now with everybody, you know, showing up on Facebook or showing up on Instagram or whatever each day, and just being able to pick and choose what kind of truth they show, and not being willing to show the messy stuff. And it's just like, every time we do that, it's just one more person looks at it and feels like their truth isn't good enough, that their truth doesn't belong there, that their truth needs to be kept quiet. And it's just, I just really hope that I change that for some people, mm-hmm. that they get that telling their story, that their story is valid, their story is real, it's important. And you know, and then that's why I do my work as a developmental editor and as a writing coach as well, is to help other women bring their stories out, right? For them to say like, hey, I've got something to say. I've learned something about life. I've got some wisdom that is really worth sharing. And that each one of us, we all have so many stories that are real and honest, and like, put them out there in the world, so that the woman that's not brave enough gets a little bit braver.
Yep. It's actually the complete basis for when I work with the entrepreneurs that I work with, and we're creating their masterpiece message. The basis of their masterpiece is their story. And we dive deep into their past, and we pick out pivotal points in their lives, and we connect that into how that works in their business now. And we show that. And when I teach them how to do transformational speaking from the stage, I teach them how to turn those things into the work that they share and create that vulnerability. So it sounds like you're doing that in writing, like you're teaching how to pull that stuff out and then turn it and do it through their writing. And so it's so in connection with my mission and you know, with the Intuitive Intelligence Academy and what we're creating. So I'm 100% agree that sharing your story. And I actually, when I just spoke in India, the art of storytelling was one of the talks that I did at the Women's Economic Forum. And it was exactly around how do we create tribe and community and share your story so that we can allow others to go out there and change the world and share their story. Because like you said, when you open up and share something, it's going to allow someone else to do the same. And communities and tribes and have been doing this for centuries, but it has been quiet. It's like they call it, you know, the circles of from many times before, we would sit around a fire and everybody would share a story. And so it's kind of going back to that kind of communal experience of sharing in that kind of way. And so I love it. I love your mission. I love what you're creating in this world. And I can see the transformation that you've even created for yourself. And so what I notice is when we're trying to transform our lives, that many believe it takes like a complete overhaul. Like we got to do all these things, and they, you know, they can't ever see the forest through the trees because they're trying to do so many things. But I believe it's one small step, one thing at a time. So what is one ritual, practice, or thing that you cannot live without? Like if you could give our audience a 5-minute solution, the Parrish Wilson solution for one thing that they can start doing now to help, you know, be maybe a better, you know, debunk mom beliefs, or be more vulnerable, or any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Read good books and journal. That's it. That's like, but that's my secret. You know, I know there are so many people that, you know, you're supposed to meditate or have your model beads or, you know, and I mix that stuff in too. But for me, I read good books. Like what about, I got Brené Brown sitting right beside me.
Yeah.
Read good books and journal and write and just explore. You know, I have a Facebook group. And I do a free 15-minute journaling workshop every Thursday. And it's just like this time to hang out and write. And I give prompts and we play around. And
I'm joining. I'm doing it. I'm in.
It's awesome. It's they're great. Today's was really fun. And it's just, you know what? It comes to knowing what your quiet time needs to look at like. Yeah. Because that's what we need. We need time when the laptop is shut and the phone is away and our kids aren't there and we are taking some time to be quiet and hearing ourselves. And that looks different for everybody. For some people, that's taking a walk. And for some people, that's painting. And some people, that's meditating. And for some people, it's reading. And other people, it's writing. It looks different for everyone. Gardening, that's an awesome one.
Yeah.
Just take time to be quiet and know what kind of time your soul is asking you for.
Well, I love it. Read good books and journal. I do both of those. I read about 5 or 6 books a month and I journal every day. And it is part of the rituals of my experience. And so I agree with you 100%. Although finding your own type of quiet time is very powerful, but there is something powerful about feeding your brain. And the physical body is the subconscious mind, and we need to get things out. And the way to do that is through writing. It really is. And so it's such a powerful tool. That's amazing. I love it. That's such an incredible one. So
it's so cool that you say that and you move your hand. So I'm such a strong believer. I say this so often for people, is that writing by hand or typing, and everybody gets to make their own choice, but I feel it and I believe it. Like it is like my emotions, they come, they pass through my body, they take their space they need, and out they come.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Because we don't need to hold on to everything. We need to experience and release.
Yep.
And writing is such a powerful way for us to do that. I have a grounded writing audio, and it's actually my bonus for the book. But it's this like 5-minute audio that I get my clients to listen to when they sit down to write all the time. And I use it in all my workshops. And it is just like this really simple way to tune in and let the words flow. No judgment, no expectations, no boundaries, you know, like just get the stuff in, out. And it's beautiful when it comes out.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, if you are looking to, you're looking for a writing coach, or you're looking to find out more about postpartum depression and moms, I want you to connect with Parrish. I've already decided that I'm going to connect in her Facebook group, and I want this 5-minute thing that she's doing, because I'm a writer and I'm an author, and I'm working on 2 private books right now. And so the more help I can get, the better. So I love it. So with Parrish, can you share with everyone how they can do that? How can they find you? Where can they go to connect with you?
Sure. My website's parrishwilson.com, P-A-R-R-I-S-H-W-I-L-S-O-N. And my Facebook group is Writing Vibes, which is a lot of fun. And I have just started a Patreon page, which is a wonderful platform for artists who want to create and get recognized and paid for their creations. So I am now writing memoir and essay on there. And that's where the my deep thoughts on motherhood are going, and mental health and creativity and what it's like to be an artist. So that's really exciting. So that's patreon.com/ParrishWilson. And those are the places that I hang out the most.
Great. Well, everybody, I want you to connect with Parrish Wilson and find her brilliance. She is one of the co-authors in Women Who Inspire, the book that came out on September 26, 2017. If you haven't gotten your copy yet, go get it right now and join us and read all these amazing, inspiring stories. So as you all know, because you've been listening to Truth Serum, we have 2 more final questions for Parrish today. And number one is, if you could do one thing in this world before you pass to the next realm, whether it's mission related, personal, adventure related, but what is one thing? What would you do? What do you want? What's something exciting and fun that you're excited about?
I want to write a great book.
Awesome. Yes. Write a great book, and I want to read it. So can't wait. And Parrish, you're 110 years old. You're on your deathbed. And none of your family or friends, anybody can come see you. Only one man. And he is going to write your epilogue and your obituary. He's a reporter. And he asks you, he says, if you had one truth that you could leave for all of your friends, family, and humanity to know, what would you say?
The hard parts are worth it.
Oh, the hard parts are worth it. I got chills when you said that. I love it. Thank you so much, Parrish. Everybody, go get the book if you haven't gotten it yet. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Truth Serum. We'll see you in the next episode. Bye.